Perfect. Let's leave that there for a second. So here's my next question for you then. Why are we here this morning? To be filled. Today is a shorter way of saying this morning. To be filled. Anything else? To give thanks. Yes. To worship. We want to be together. Again, for those that are of a certain age will remember that advert. Hang on, Mark. I'm a man, one thing at once. Sorry, what was that? To receive love. Yeah. Yes, I was trying to think how to put that in a script here. In fact, it says in the Bible, doesn't it, that, you know, we are to meet together in his name. Yes. Somebody else said something? Yes. I'm going to pick. What's the word I'm looking for? I'm going to extract that a little bit further. Nearly said the wrong thing. To learn, thank you. You know where I was going with that, didn't you? Now you know why I didn't bend down. So when we are building each other up, to do what? To learn is one example. What else, perhaps? Strengthen the friends around the crop. I'm going to have to do that. Thank you, Penny.
We're too old. I think the Bible says we're two or more.
Two or more to gather together. Yeah. Yeah. And two or more together. Here we're present, and we've seen through that beautiful worship this morning, and we meet with God in different and many ways, don't we? For some people, it is in worship. For other people, it's just sitting in silence. Some people like to take time to meditate and just be. There's lots and lots of things. Scripture, to learn about Scripture. What does it say in the Bible about things? And we know that the Bible is full of not only the teachings of Jesus, but, you know, there's all the parables, there's all, you know, this is our handbook to life, isn't it? Yeah. Brilliant. So, we thought we'd do this morning is just to expand a little bit on what we talked about last Sunday afternoon. And for those that weren't here last Sunday afternoon, Lisa Kerry, our regional minister, held a vision day. And the purpose behind that, and apologies for those that were here, but it's always good to refresh. The purpose behind that was to look at what do we think the church, God's vision for this church is. And once we know which direction we think God is taking us, then we can look at, well, what do we need in the minister to take us in that direction? Because if we think we're going in that direction and we recruit a minister that can only go in that direction, that's not going to work, is it? We all need to be together. We've talked about togetherness here. And what she did was she put up or she told us about it, it's an Anglican thing. There are seven, for want of a better description, indicators of what looks like a healthy church, what makes a good, healthy church. And we spent the afternoon, and there's 20 plus of us, I think, I can't remember off the top of my head now, and we talked, just as we've been doing this morning, about what that healthy church looked like. And before we go into a bit more detail on that, I just wanted to share with you some scripture. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labour in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." And what that does, it emphasises that human effort is futile without God's guidance. We have to be seeking, what is God saying to us? Now, it could be a light bulb moment, couldn't it? It could be, oh, that's what God's saying. It could be, and as we know, when it comes to answering prayer, I've been praying about something, and nothing happens. And then all of a sudden, bingo. Thank you, Adrian. And then we might pray about something else straight away. We see God's hand at work. How many people this week can say, I've seen God's hand at work? Anybody? Liz, do you want to share briefly? Just you need the microphone for people on Zoom. Come on.
This might seem silly, but there's a couple of things. Firstly, that I'm able to be back in the building, which I'm really thankful for. But really, seeing God's hand at work, not just to get me back, but also the very fact of just creation in general, taking notice of his creation, birds singing, the flowers in the garden, you know, new growth, new birth, things that we overlook and take for granted.
Thank you. Anybody else? Lorna.
Well, as you all know, I've been poorly for quite a while. And I was really taken back by how my work has been really looking after me. Looking after me because I just wanted to get back to work and I didn't care how I felt. And they sort of really slowed things down, gave me the time. And from Monday, I should be back in there.
Yay.
Full time, with Tuesday and Thursday, just the morning. But it's that gradual building me up and looking after me and letting me know that they know better than me. And I feel that God's hand's definitely been there for me. So.
Thank you. Well done. We've talked about it, I think, before in terms of it's very difficult, isn't it, to stop. We live in a world which is now, now, now. But what's the difference with taking time out from work and getting physical healing than taking time out and getting spiritual healing? There's no difference, is there really? But spiritual healing is far better than physical healing in terms of it feeds our soul, doesn't it? So I'm going to quickly recap. I'm not going to spend the rest of the time this morning regurgitating what we did last week. But just the seven marks, just to replant in our mind where we think our church, this body of people, these fellow believers, these people that are on that journey with God, where do we think this church is? Because that will help us and the trustees, us, to decide where are we going as a church. And Steve's put up there a couple of times, and it's not easy to see, but the first mark, all right, he's working on it, bless you, thank you, is called to be energized by faith. And we've talked about it here when we wrote it down, into having faith, having the belief that Jesus, God, is in charge of all of our lives. We might sometimes find that difficult to believe, but he is. And that includes worship. We had that time of worship this morning. for me personally, worship, I love worship. You know, for people that know me, know that. It moves people towards experiencing God's love. It creates that scriptural engagement with him, especially when you've got the worship and put the word of God behind it as well. It just builds you up, doesn't it? And it provides a clear path as Christians, as disciples. And it might well be that if you're just starting your Christian journey, you might think, well, that path looks a little bit hazy or it's overgrown. But as you continue with God, move down, that path just gets broader and broader because he's going to fill that path up with people to surround you. We're surrounding each other this morning. We'd need a big path, wouldn't we, this morning? There's lots of us. It's lovely to see so many people here today. The second one was outward-looking focus. And that mark, when they try and say, how healthy is your church, is what are you doing in the community? How are you looking out? And what partnerships have you got across other denominations, other faiths? Because if we just sit here, come here Sunday morning and have our fellowship and have our worship and our praise and our scripture, nothing wrong with that. But if we then go home and don't do anything else, are we exploring the kingdom of God and sharing it with others? Adrian gave us a perfect example this morning of, no, we have to be out there. And we keep talking about the phrase, a church without walls. Because as soon as each and every one of us walks out of that door this morning, you are a disciple of God. You might not feel it, you might not like it, but you are. By what you say, by what you do, and all of those other things. And it goes back to what we talked about on here as well. We're responding to human needs, aren't we? We talked about it being a hospital. As a church, we look out for each other. We're praying for people that are sick. We're praying for Gordon and his treatment. We were praying for Jacob when he was in hospital. We've prayed for many, many people in this church, week in, week out. And we never stop, and we will never stop. What are we doing as a church to share that love? And possibly right now, and honestly, not as much as we'd like to. We know we've got limited resources, we've got limited people available. But that's one of the reasons why we're doing the Andy Kind event, the comedian. Because that brings people together. Nothing better than bringing people together and lifting spirit up in comedy. Good quality, good fun. We've advertised it to all the local churches. We've sent emails to every single local church to say, come and join us. We at King's Baptist Church want to spend time with you. And in May, we're just going through the process of signing up to go back to the meal weekend. We haven't done that for a few years. What are we going to do? Don't know. Stick a 3-metre by 3-metre gazebo up. Something to keep the kids, not entertained, but something for the kids to do. And while the kids are doing that, we'll talk to the people. So what's special about King's Baptist? Because we're a lovely church. We all love God. We all worship him. Would you like to come and join us? See what we're about. It's an Adrian moment. It's a Kerry moment. It's whatever moment we find ourselves able to talk about what God is doing in our lives and sharing that good news. Third one was seeking God's vocation. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one, but this is when we're looking at what is God wanting to do. What is the vision? What's the mission priorities? And to be able to do that whilst making sacrifices without becoming martyrs. We could all stand up and say, right, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do the other, and we'll get out there, and we're going to stand in the street corner every week. And then Sunday morning, nobody comes in here because they're all asleep, because they're absolutely shattered. God doesn't want us to kill ourselves in the process of giving the good news to other people. But we have to discern how we're going to do that. Is it something we want to do? Yes or no? I know what I think the answer is. But we can't do everything, can we? There are some things we may have to say, let's just put that on the back burner. And we'll do it in 12 months' time, 2 years' time, 10 years' time. Or, no, we need to do that now. We need to do the meal weekend in May. We need to show people that we, as a church, are caring about what goes on around us. A lot of building going on. A lot of building going on. What happens if, I don't know, let's say there's 6,000 houses plus going in Stockfold in a minute, just 1% of those people are Christians. That's 60 people, if my math is right. I'm looking at the accountant, thank you. So that's 60 people that need a church to go to. Would they come here? Why would they come here? Would they go to St. Mary's? Would they go to the Salvation Army? In one respect, you could argue, we don't care where they're going because they're going somewhere. But it'd be lovely to see them here. Let's increase our fellowship. Let's love them, support them. And out of those 6,000 people, if there are 60 that are 10% of them are Christians and 90% aren't, that's a lot of people that need to know the love of Jesus Christ. 5,940. My O-levels weren't wasted. Shush. Yes, love. Yes. That's a good point. What Heather was saying for the people on Zoom is that when we talked about it last week and looking outwards, I've just mentioned about looking outwards as far as the community, but we also did take consideration in terms of looking outwards in terms of the world. You know, there's lots going on in the world right now. It needs our prayer, but what can we do to support what's going on? We don't have them up now, but Burkina Faso, South Africa, there used to be one up there somewhere, you know, where we have worked with Christians in other countries. We've supported them. A bit like the toilet twinning type thing, isn't it? You know, we can care for others in other parts of the world. Just because we're in Stockfold doesn't mean to say we can't help other people elsewhere. It might be something as simple as a fiver a month. Or I might turn around and say, we're going to do an event, Andy Kind version 2. This time any profits from Andy Kind are going to go to the Need Project, a local need. Next year we might say, right, okay, it's going to go to Burkina Faso. But we have to put the events on, don't we? But we have to put the events on without running ourselves into the ground. So it's a bit of a dilemma, this, isn't it? So you can see why we've had to take the time to think about it. The fourth mark was about facing the cost of change and growth. And I sort of started to allude to that, really, in terms of what that looks at is how you embrace doing new things. Andy Kind, Mill Weekend, whilst honouring what's happened with this church historically. And again, for those that don't recall, there was a time where we had such a large fellowship, we couldn't meet in this building. We had to decamp and go to Edinburgh School every week, took everything off the stage and off, and the church became school. The church was then divided, it got planted elsewhere, and we came back. Wouldn't it be great if we could plant another church? Absolutely fantastic. But that will involve taking risks. It also might involve getting it wrong. We have to learn from our experiences. If, for example, I don't want to be the prophecy of doom, but let's say, for example, the Andy Kind event isn't as good as we want it to be. Do we do another one? Shall we take a risk and do another one? Or should we just say, didn't work, let's do something else. Let's do Morris dancing on the green. I don't know. But we have to take the risk. But we might get it wrong. But if we're looking towards Jesus, saying, give us a vision, show us what you want us to do, then the chances of getting it wrong, in my head, has got to be lower. Do you not think? Lisa was talking about crises. You know, what for some people is a crisis, it's just a, yeah, really? You know, when something doesn't quite go right, like you didn't think you were going to be stood at the front this morning, is that a crisis? Well, you could argue, yes, but actually, no, it was an opportunity to share with you what happened last week. That was it. She always said, and Neil Whitmill is always said, did anybody die? No. Has anybody passed away while we've been here this morning? No, we're all alive. You're still listening to me. Sorry for that, guys, but, you know, it's not been that big a disaster. No, I shouldn't do that, should I? what our experience is, we might think we're having a tough time. We might think it's a bit of a roller coaster. And we might think we're not where we were, or not where God wants us to be yet. But he's rebuilding us, isn't he? We talked here, renewing. That was remembering Jesus. So we talked about renewing, I think, and building, and being together. Build each other up. There we go. Thank you. But when you change, when you make changes, change is hard, especially for humans. We're not good at it, are we, humans? We don't like change. But the more you change, the more you get used to changing. And I'm not saying we should change all the time, because if you exercise too hard, how many people go to the gym every week? Yeah. If you exercise too hard, what happens?
It hurts.
It hurts. Yeah. There's got to be the balance, hasn't there? But accumulation of changes where we keep just chipping away what we think God is asking us to do, it shows us that God has got that plan for us. And he's proving that by not testing us. He's not making it difficult for us. Just saying, just try this, just try that, just do that. But you have to listen to him. Somebody said last week, came up with a metaphor, a bit like a cocoon, a butterfly in a cocoon. On the inside, you can't see what's going on, but something's going on, and it comes out of that cocoon, and it's a beautiful butterfly. Are we in that cocoon status right now? I think we are, aren't we? And when each and every one of us blossoms into that beautiful butterfly, it's going to be gorgeous, isn't it? Have you ever been to a butterfly farm where they all come landing on you all over the place? They just... And it's God's creation. It goes back to what Liz said, listening to the birds and things. Vicky and I used to go to St. Paul's in Letchworth. I think I may have told this story before, so apologies if you've heard it. And when we moved into the area some years ago, we used to go to an Anglican church in the West, in the Midlands, in Tamworth, which was described as an evangelical Church of England church. And it was. It was all quite happy clappy type thing, for those that know that phrase. And it was a great church, and that's where we as Christians started to really become Christians again. We were a bit reborn, we were rebirthed in our Christian faith. And how we ended at St. Paul is another story which I'm not going to bore you with. If you want to know about it, ask me afterwards. But it was God's hand in taking us to St. Paul's. And we were there for few years, yeah. I'm going to say 10 because it's a nice round number. Loved it. Loved the people, loved the church, loved the service, loved everything about it. But there's just something quite missing. Not, couldn't work out what it was. And I think we're in the back of our mind, we're comparing it back to the church in Tamworth where the Holy Spirit was just in your face every week, which is beautiful. Didn't quite get it in St. Paul's. It was nearly there. You could sort of, it's like being on, I described it as being on a roller coaster. You're going up this roller coaster, you get to, and the anticipation is you get to the top. And then you get over the top and you go, yay! And it's a great ride. And we never seemed, for us, we never seemed to quite get to the top to go, yay! But we came here. And we went, yay! When we came here. Or was it, yay? Can't remember. Because we felt the love and the beauty of the Holy Spirit working in this place, as it does today. But God moved us from there to here. At the time, it was, shall we, shan't we? We had to listen to God. And again, we said it before, and I touched on it earlier, and I said I would. More silence, less noise, to listen for that still small voice. Because if you don't take time out, however that looks like for you personally, how are you going to hear it? Moving quickly on, operating as a community was the other title. Focusing on nurturing relationships. Oh, there we go, brilliant. We talked about leadership, small house groups and things like that. Just, you know, church isn't just on a Sunday morning, is it? And the last one, Mark 7 was talking about doing a few things and doing them well. Again, I've talked about that. Let's put something down if we're not doing it well, if it allows us to do other things better. But not let's get hung up about it. Because if we can't do it, then it's, you know, I think God wants us to do something and have a bigger impact than trying to do lots of little things and people say, well, that was all right. I'll go somewhere else because I didn't really get a lot out of that because we haven't quite got it right. And we were asked, for those that weren't here, we're asked to mark all of those out of 10 and give it a score. And I'm not going to tell you what we all said, but I'd just like you to think throughout the next few days, and we are going to send this out to everyone that's on church with. If you want paper copies, then let me know. The slide set that we've been looking at. Just think, where do you think your church is? Is it at the 7, 8, 9 mark? Or is it the 1, 2, 3 marks? I mean, I'm pleased to say that we weren't at the 1, 2, 3 marks. Most of them quite high. But we were also encouraged to think that if it is only 3 or 4, that's not a bad thing. Because that might be the one thing God doesn't want us to do. Yet. But it might be in the future. Next one, please, Steve. So hopefully you can appreciate that these are sort of things that if we know, and I go back to what I said at the beginning, if we know where we're going as a church, are we going that way or that way, we need to ask the questions of the prospective minister. How are you going to help us go down that path? How are you going to help us to go down that path? Or path? Because there may be multiple paths, aren't there? Thank you, Steve. Next one. That is small. What is on there? What kind of personality traits are we looking for in our new minister? What should the new minister's priorities be for their time? What kind of preacher stroke teacher are we looking for? What are the gaps we're expecting a new minister to fill? What are the new adventures we want to share with our new minister? And what do we have to have in place to support that minister? Really good questions, aren't they? I'm glad I didn't have to think about. Yeah. Especially the last one. Absolutely. Especially the last one. No man is an island, I think the phrase, isn't it? Being a minister is not an easy job. Ask Doug and Kerry, their son-in-law's one. It's hard work. How do you support them? And I think, you know, as a church, we support every minister to the best of our ability. But what do they need? We think they may need X and Y, and they actually need A and B. We ask them. So we have to be mindful as well, don't we? And it sounds like I'm talking all about the here and now, the human things. And don't get me wrong, there is a lot of that, isn't there? But there's one thing which is important in all of this. What is God telling us? To love him for one. We want him to love us for two. Because we're going to have to end up in a relationship with whoever comes in. The important thing to realise is that whoever is our next minister probably, possibly, couldn't be every single one of them. Because the only person that could be any single one of them is Jesus. We're lacking to get fairly close, obviously, you know, but... Yeah. Yeah. For the benefit of people on Zoom, what Heather was just saying is that in a recent thing in the UCB, the number of ministers, it's been reported, the number of ministers that leave a church because they are hurt is very high. And I think... And I can't remember how long it is I did it. I've given a talk from here before. And there was a survey done of Baptist Union ministers, and I'm probably guessing a bit of the numbers. But there's a survey done of Baptist Union ministers, and they were asked how many have been bullied by their congregation. I'll ask the question now, what percentage do you think it was? Very high. It was 70%+, which is shocking. Absolutely shocking. And the point I added on the back of that was that's 70% who admitted that they were being bullied. Because how many people are bullied won't admit it? Or don't recognise it as bullying? Yeah, you've got to answer back then. You've got to answer to that then, haven't you? So we've all got a hard job. And, you know, perhaps I'm not painting a very good rosy picture of it right now. But we're Christians. We have the fellowship. We are the bride of Christ. Together, we will and can get through this. But we can't do it alone. So we need to keep turning to him. Keep remembering what God is saying to us as a church. And that will help us. That will help us. Think of the questions, thank you, Steve. Think of the questions that we believe we need answering, because, again, just to remind everybody of the process, there will be a search team. They will meet with the prospective ministers, and at some point in time, that prospective minister will come and talk to you guys. They'll come and preach. They will have, I think from memory, the last time, I think it's called Death by Sausage Roll, whereby they come and preach. And then we go out the back and have a meal together, and it gives you a chance to talk to them until their ears are aching because it's Death by Sausage Roll, it's called. That's known as a nickname.
I think one thing that hit me recently is the sacrifice that God had to make, that young man, and he was, we don't know exactly how old he was, but he was only a young man. He had him sacrificed for us.
Yeah,
what?
Oh. You know,
for a wretch like that.
Yeah, 33 years old, they said, don't they? Remembering that he died on the cross for us. And every time we take communion, how much do we, and this isn't a criticism, it's a question, it's an observation, how much do we reflect on that sacrifice? Hard, isn't it? Because you can't imagine it. You can't work it out, really, can you? But he did. For me. For you. For you. For you. Thank you, Jesus. So I would encourage you that as we go through this interregnum, I hate the word because I can't spell it and I keep having to write it down. I'm being honest. How many R's and how many G's and L's? And anyway, as we go through this interregnum, just spend time, however you spend time in prayer, reflecting on those seven marks. What do you want in this, your church? And what do you believe God is saying that we should be going? Which road should we be going down? And what sort of person do we need to take us there? Because he's only leading us, isn't he, the minister, the pastor? God is taking us, but he's leading us to where God wants us to be. That's the frustrating thing. God always already knows where we're going. I wish he'd tell us sort of like, you know, anytime you like, God. But that's where patience comes into. That's where patience comes in. And I'm shocking. Yeah, and it can be a long journey. Yeah, given the number of ministers that are available, looking for new positions. I mean, when we were waiting for Alistair, I think it was 3.5-4 years. But in that meantime, I'm looking at all of you, we know that God is doing all of these things. We've seen it in people. People are growing through the Holy Spirit moving in them. So maybe God doesn't want us to have a new minister next week because, you know, we may have a new minister in our midst that decides in 6 months' time they actually want to go into ministry. Nikki's done theology training. Nikki's used that theology training in a workplace in the prisons. Yeah. So are you a Nikki Mark 2? Are you a Nikki Mark 3? Mickey Mark 4. There's no point me telling you that you're Nikki Mark 4 or 5 or 6. That's between you and God. That's what you believe that God is asking you and calling you to do. Just as each and every one of us here, we are responding to his calling. Yes, Vic? Yeah. can just mouth at me children. Lisa made the point last week. About 12, 13 children at the back. And I'll admit this, many years ago I said, oh, they're the church of the future. They're not the church of today. They are the church of today. And it's beautiful to see them, isn't it? Yeah? Beautiful, playing instruments, doing the drawing, being part of it, waving flags. They're worshipping. We should take example from them sometimes, shouldn't we? Yeah. I've said enough, but let me just close in prayer, and let's just ask the Lord to allow us to spend time and reflect on that. Father, as we said earlier, that when two or more are gathered in your name, you will be here. Father, we thank you that you have been here this morning. Father, we thank you that we have the opportunity to spend time to reflect on what you want for each and every one of us, and what you want for this, your little church. Lord, and we pray that if this, your little church, your vision is it to be this, your big church, Lord, we welcome that. Might be scary, might be daunting, but Lord, we won't be doing it in our own strength. We'll be doing it through your strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I pray that as we go out this week, as we are the church without walls, as we talk to the people around us, as we think about what you want us to do in our lives for your glory, Lord, just help us, guide us, give us wisdom, give us discernment. And Lord, let it all be because we love you. And we give you all our thanks and praise and glory and honour. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.